Matthew's Gospel 28, following and knowing the leading of the Spirit. Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18. All authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of every nation. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. Now, when he says to make disciples, it means to teach people to be students. And in our study of the word, we have found out that God's word has never changed. It's never changed. And whatever Jesus taught isn't news. What God had done, or what God is doing, or what God has said. And you know, if you were on Facebook, I posted something earlier today, and because I was, you know, when Exodus week, so I was meditating upon why the children of Israel were in Egypt, because I love to know why. Why were they in Egypt? Why did they stay in Egypt? Why was there a need for an Exodus at all? It appeared to me some things that I hadn't seen it before, not before this series, no doubt. And that's the fact that it was traceable to when Jacob and then his children went to Egypt. And you know, that's nothing that Moses came to tell them in Egypt that God hadn't told Abraham. You know, for many of us, we expect the leading of God to change past season, particularly these days of 2019, 10 years ago. I don't have a problem with that, but check your persuasion. 10 years ago, your prayer life, 10 years ago, not your facial looks. Except if you're a painting, it shouldn't be the same 10 years ago. Even a painting will have, you know, since you're not a painting, you're a human being, some will have been either taken away or removed. But look at your Christian life. That's why you examine. As was the point. And so we feel that with time, God will now understand. But you know, right in Egypt, he reminded them of what he told Abraham. Do you know what that is? That is not 400 years old. Because it was after Joseph they were there for 400 years. So that arguably around 600 thereabout years. About that. I'll get the figures by tomorrow. He says, what I said 600 years ago is what I'm saying now. And obviously, you know, it came to me that, well, they came to Egypt quickly for economic revival because they were in serious hardship. Why didn't they leave Egypt? You know, if they had taken things out of Egypt and they had just gone back. But somehow, his son is a prime minister. What else is God's will? There's free food. And if they even gave them a part of the land, that it was now their portion of another man's country. And so what ought to have been temporary, a visitation, a holiday, a business trip, now became a permanent thing. Joe, when the Lord spoke to Abraham about that, he says that until they will not come out until the cup of the Amorites were full. In other words, where they left, another nation will come there. So until those people were self-destruct, this is what happened. they won't come back there. That's quite interesting. So, what happened in Exodus 2 or 3 now was that those folks who had the choice not to fulfill that have become self-destruct. And we'll do all that study in Exodus, don't worry, we'll get to that. But I'm telling you that it's interesting how it took them 400 years to go back to God's will. But they had all the comfort. They had all the... No wonder the writer of Hebrews was silent about the exploits of Joseph. He had almost... You would have thought that he would make John Joseph by faith. Joseph interpreted dreams by faith. Joseph. He just said one line, two lines about Joseph and left it. And Joseph was the one of all of Abraham's kids who had the greatest influence. Because he was in charge of the wealthiest and most powerful nations in the earth. But that wasn't given any mention. In other words, when they were in Egypt, they forgot God's plan. Sometimes we're caught in that. We're making plans. You know, I remember somebody was applying to go to United Kingdom, United States, and all that. And then we had this discussion, not a member of this church. And then fellow now said, sir, do you know, listen, after you have gotten the visa, your plan, do you know whether there's any world church there? I said, ask them at the embassy. You plan a life without the local church first. So I've settled down in Egypt. You know, I say, hey, what's the will of God again? And many people are just like that. Many times when it comes to God's will, if we can just go back to what He said to us, what we knew before we came under pressure, we won't have a problem with it. There are things I don't pray about. I knew them as a teenager. I knew them before I set my mind to get married. I knew them. So I don't say, that's not necessary. It's when you want to walk in disobedience that you start praying about what you've already been told. I remember Roy Hicks Sr., who was the president at the point of Foursquare Gospel Church International. He was one of Brother Higgins' very close friends. So I used to read a book, his books then. He wrote this particular book, The Myth of Unanswered Prayers. That's the title. And that's where I got the title from. He also wrote another book, He That Laughs Last, Laughs Best. Wonderful material. Warren Joy, very wonderful, excellent teacher of the word. He said, when you have light and you want more light, it's darkness you're going to get. And you want light, sorry, it's darkness you're going to get. You already know God supernaturally has worked out relationships for you. If God walks people into your life, you have to keep them. Hallelujah. If God walks people into your life, you have to keep them. It's not my fault. No, you have to keep them. If God puts you somewhere, you have to stay there. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? There are some things you can't tempt me with. Even though it's temptatious. But I know my heart knows. I will be doing the wrong thing. And so they stayed there. They enjoyed, you know. And you know, there's nothing like moving from suffering to plenty. Jacob had said he was going to die. He just said, take Benjamin away. Just make sure food comes back. Just like his grandfather and his father. Then he goes there. And then imagine you were struggling in a Ijebu day or Sasa. I said that purposely. You now got to White House. White House that you only see it on Facebook. From the airport. Convoy. You got to the White House. They took you straight to the president's office. You think you're in trouble? He said, no. He said, the vice president is your son. Hi! He said, you're the real daddy. You are now, you know, we have first lady. You are first father. Okay, second father. So he said, ah! You know, all your, the next thing in your mind is, God has done this. God has done this. You don't have to apply for visa anywhere in the world. The whole world wants to now come to that Egypt. But 400 years after, God reminded them of his will. You are the one attracted by good things. God isn't. So sometimes, we put the first thing last. Before you engage into friendships, I've told you before, is this a spirit-led relationship? You won't get so deep in the relationship, and then you begin to think about marriage. Marriage shouldn't have come first. The first thing is this a God-given relationship? That's the first thing you should think about. And everything that God puts in your life has its own fruit. You follow what I'm saying now? So sometimes we just put the first in last. I thought about it. So I was studying the book of Exodus. I said, really? God doesn't control human will. He doesn't. There are some history we created. And God didn't create them. We created that history for ourselves. And what a history that was. Look at the number of people that were found in that action. Millions of them. Because someone or some folks decided to do what they wanted to do. What a life. Why didn't you go back to your country? You have finished your master's. You have finished your PhD. You are done with the business. You are done with the holiday. Before you came for the holiday, were you led to stay there? Or as the holiday became very holy a day? Ah, I sensed it. This is why I came here. I remember the late Archbishop of Dahosa once mentioned how he used to suffer in Nigeria. When he said suffer in Nigeria, in the 60s. He said when he got married, that the only thing he didn't borrow was his wife. That even everything they wore was borrowed. So one time somebody, because he was in the mission, somebody now gave him a Vespa. So as he took the Vespa to his house, the whole community was already celebrating. God, don't bless you. God, don't bless you. And the guy gave him the Vespa, is a missionary that was leaving the country, and said, you can pay in installments. So he said, a friend of his now came that night. I sat down with him. The wife was so excited because, you know, they now have Vespa and then cooked food for everybody to celebrate the Vespa. You know what Vespa is? Oh, they're looking at Vespa. So he now said that, this was from his story, I heard it myself. He said that the guy that came to his house now said, Benson, I want to see you late at night. He said, actually, I have brought back your deposit. He said, from who? From Reverend So and So that sold the Vespa to you. I've given him the full money. He said, you know, I'm an international minister. I preach in Cameroon and Yaoundé. You are only in Benin. Imagine, Cameroon, international minister. In those days. You know some boys now, because they have friends on Facebook that come from London, they say, my ministry is now, you are blow. They are blow. And so he said, his problem wasn't the Vespa, it was how do I tell my wife? She has celebrated it. And so they looked at the guy, he drove the Vespa away. And the whole village saw it. Not long after that, he went to America. And then at the Christ for Nations Bible School. And again, when they saw him and saw the kind of gift of God in his life, they offered him a car, a house, and a year's salary ahead. The wife was already celebrating. Ah, He has done for me, he has done for me what my father cannot do. He said, as he went to the room, Lord said to him, Benson, you must leave America now. Eh? I didn't call you here, I called you Benin. And when you now see America in your mind, I see Benin. Hey! Say, Lord, my problem is not what you're telling me. How do I tell my wife again? Which God right here spoke to me? Do you understand? So say he had to return. But not long after that, he became a name in America. The same place. I know people because of visa lottery. Visa lottery. There's nothing wrong with visa lottery. Don't go and quote me. Pastor, are you now saying, I'm not saying anything. Visa lottery. Someone was asking me, he said, should I go? I said, before you played the game, did you pray? Who is the person you want to ask whether when you have won? You want to talk to the devil? When I was younger, I would have said, no, the word, no. Now when you come to me, I'll say, pray about it. You won't quote me last. I'm not book of Revelation. Well, pray about it. When you were playing the game, you did not pray. You played the game and won. You now want to pray. That prayer is answered. You will hear God say, I prepared a place for you. That's what you're going to hear. And there are people like that. You've taken the opportunity already. You set the ball rolling. You set the ball rolling. So there are sometimes we put the first and last. What did God tell you? He said, knowing the will of God is not that difficult. No. You can sit down and actually know events that are similar. Persons. You can't talk the will of God outside persons. They are individuals. God, one of the key elements of the will of God in our lives are persons, relationships. How you grow spiritually. How you knew the word. Look at how, you know you can sit down and exactly know how God has been dealing with you for the past 10 years. You can intelligently see it. Someone told me that sometimes I'm praying about something, I walk into the service and that's what they're talking about. That's a pattern already. How come you didn't know it when you watched the news? Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes it's a prophecy in a meeting. Sometimes, you know, it's listen to the word. Sometimes it's in a prayer group meeting. You're only praying. Sometimes it's, let's fast. We're fasting about studying towards camp meeting and all that. But something different from camp meeting comes to you. That is a pattern. That's a pattern. You should know. So oftentimes, we do the last thing first. And when you are in the will of God, don't seek the will of God. If anything will change, it is your will staying in His will. Focus is blessing you. And those of us who are young, we have a chance, an opportunity, not to set ourselves up first. You set yourself up with the decisions you take. You know, there's some things you can easily repent of, you know, you can change. But when you marry, you relocate, it changes many things around you. Persons, events. Those are things that you don't quickly do. Just like when I was younger, this is not in my sermon note. Can I go on? Are you sure about that? When I was younger, I remember I was told, they said, there are three things you never go in haste into. Of course, it looks like a rant. Three M's. Is it money? Money. Solomon said so as well. Money. I learned that when I was younger. He said, two, marriage. And three, ministry. Money. I'm just telling you what I was doing when I was young. And I found it out myself. So, you don't set things rolling And then you think, well, I'm a new creation in Christ. Somebody even told me one time years back, he said, because I have the Spirit of God, whatever I do is right. Oh. Wow. And I was his pastor. You know, when some people talk to you, I remember Pastor Kumi saying that he told somebody to do something, he said, I want to pray about it. He said, come here. When did we drive out demons from you? I told you something. So, who do I pray to? You know, there's a pattern. It's the same way you're talking to your pastor. You want to get cancer. You don't say, God told me. Except he asks you. Don't say, you know, Pastor, I just came to talk to you. I've been led by the Spirit of God. At that point, I'll just say, wow, thank God for your life. You don't talk like that. Don't you know the leading of the Spirit of God is what I'm doing tonight? That's what I'm doing tonight. Every service you come from, every instruction you get from the Word, that's the leading of the Spirit. You don't say, well, I sense, you know, you could sense, you should know, because your pastor should teach you how to be led by the Spirit of God. I'll be led. But when you seek for counsel, don't use those words. Just listen. Because you can be wrong. You've been wrong before. You can be wrong. But when you listen, and listen well. I know we're in a very, very interesting age. Very interesting age. Everybody born of a woman, I'm talking in the flesh now, we all react to what we see. Do you know that whatever you are wearing today, you saw it first? What you're wearing today, you saw it first. You didn't, in your, you saw it, you liked it, then you wore it. That's why when you dress anyhow, the reason why they say, what did you wear? Is because they've not seen it elsewhere. But now, people are tearing jeans. If somebody has jeans, now, assuming in the 60s, 1960s or 50s, you wear clothes, then you tear it. They'll think you are mad. But some people who are respected are now tearing their clothes. Say, ah! So some people say, ah, fashion. You know, because you saw it. Now, hold on. You know, left to many of us, really, and the truth is this, left to many of us, you probably won't wear what you're wearing today if nobody will care. So eventually, what you're wearing is for people to see. Right? So that means we all react to what we see. Now, we're in an age of the media. The social media. Lovely, the Word of God is taught. We're grateful. Have you tried to use the Instagram? I had to block it at some point. What is all this? Just showing pictures. Some people to give them depression. You don't be depressed. Somebody is giving back to a child. He's putting picture. Paka. Paka. What is wrong with both of you? Not the child, you and your picture. Ah. So what is wrong? So there's nothing, you just see things. As some people are doing church, they will show you people that are coming inside, how they are coming inside, how they are smiling. Look at your own church, they are frowning as they are coming in. What is wrong with all of you? You don't even know why they are smiling. But you are reacting to something. So we're in that kind of age. But you know, the way God leads has not changed. God will lead you by Instagram. He had been leading men before Instagram. He will lead you by pictures that you see. He will lead you by His Word. And His Word is the same 2009, 2019, 2029, 2099. You follow what I'm saying? So don't seek the will of God when you are in the will of God. Sometimes what's wrong with you is that you're just ambitious. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious. You should have an ambition. If you enter university and they say, What is your ambition? You say, I have no ambition. I seek the giver, not his will. Say, come here. Do you want to graduate?
I don't have any ambition.
That case requires the express. Those things I recommend. Good, so and so. Take your card, fill your name, and what is wrong with you, so that they can pray for you. If you set up a business, you say, what's this business for?
Nothing.
Do you want to make money?
I'm not a money person.
I'm not into money.
Oh, money.
Just the will of God. How? Is this evangelism? So really, we can be, so all of us have a degree of being impressionable. I told you. There were guys, now I happen to preside over some associations that are not Christian. And I see people. As they see someone's car, you will see it on their face. Ah, this guy has gone ahead because you were classmates or you were university mates. Then from that point, as he saw that car or the keys, he doesn't know who gave you, he doesn't know whether you stole it. He begins to plot how to get a car. Why? What he saw. He doesn't, and pictures can be deceitful. Come in, sister. Follow the word. Hallelujah. Just follow the word. Amen. Vogue will come and go. Fashion will come and it will change. But the word of God will never change. God's leading in your life can never change. God's leading doesn't react because there's poverty in the land. Oh, because there's hardship. Because they don't longer employ doctors like that in Nigeria or lawyers. Oh, where are they employ lawyers now? Cambodia. I hear in my spirit. I hear all sorts of commercial prosperity, prophecies. You know, there's commercial prophecies. You know, somebody is giving prophecy, he mentions Okada. That's in Nigeria. I just see. Okada. You know, that's a Nigerian prophecy. I say, Cambodia. He has it over the internet. Say, are you thinking of, the Lord just saying, don't go. So, you know, well, God's been leading you. Praise God. In a simple way, amen. In a simple way, God's been leading you. And the way he has been leading you, he keeps leading you. Without complications. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? He led you, you're in the right church. Amen. You have the right people around you. Praise God. Right godly relationships, promoting spiritual growth in your life. God's been leading you. Amen. Aren't you content? Praise God. Hallelujah. You follow what I'm saying here? So you just stay in the will of God and don't look for the will of God when you are in the will of God. Praise the Lord. Matthew 28. Now, notice in Matthew 28, you know, we're talking about the leading of the Spirit. And Jesus says in verse 19, making disciples. Oh, such is Shirati, power box. They dress us as well, and they come to spoke as your tools and practice. Alright. Yep. You have become unruly. And you're walking in dishonor. Such that the vessels that God uses to speak to you, his will and purpose, have become tools of familiarity and dishonor. So you have become unruly. Now you are set in your ways. And now you are set to do what you should do, that you want to do. But you need to retract. Retract words you have said. Retract decisions you have made. It may look painful, but you just have to do it. And get back to when you were sure God led you. Not now, that's now you doing it for God to endorse it. For God won't bless what you do. God will only bless what he does to you. And so, in your heart resolve not to be unruly, but rather walking on, and take words spoken to you by the Spirit as from the Spirit, and never again should you take the word of God spoken by the men of God or the man of God or the people of God as the words of a mere man. You need to see the word of God written and spoken as the will of God and follow it and stay in what he said. Stay in what he said and stop looking for what he said. And then you delude yourself and deceive yourself. Stay in what he has said, and it might not line up with your desires. It might not line up with what you think is right, but you see, what you think is right doesn't mean it's right. You stay with his plan and his purpose, and don't be unruly. Don't be unruly. No, don't be unruly. 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 No, don't be unruly. For I set your feet to pray for the nations of the world, and I put this burden in your heart to pray. And you knew it. That I set in your heart the burden to pray for the nations. As soon as you said it, the enemy got a wind of that and started giving you offers into the nations to do something else. I never asked you to do any other thing but to pray. To pray. But the enemy, hearing it from your lips, has gone behind the scenes, orchestrated men to give you offers in the nations of the world. In that, that which gives you opportunity to travel around the world now came. And you felt it's good. Oh, it looks good. No, it may look good, but it doesn't have to be God that way. So you got back to what I told you to do. I just asked you to pray. That was what I asked you to do. Just pray. I never asked you to go. I just said pray. So don't see the going as me. Not in any way. That's an orchestration. And you will learn to move away from that voice that is not of my spirit. You learn to move away. You learn to your mind says, well, it's full of milk and honey. Your mind says, well, it's full of the green. Your mind says that it looks good. Your mind says, well, I could do God's will anywhere. Your mind says, well, I should do it. That's what your mind is saying. But silence it right away. Don't meditate upon it. For disobedience is not a process, it's an action. Disobedience is not a process, it's an action. Sinfulness obedience is not a process. If you will obey immediately and let go of that which you have set in your heart to do, let go of that which you have set in your heart to do, and go back to what was in your heart before, and stay there and do it. Don't add to what I said and claim I said so. Stay with what I said, and you will see yourself walking in fulfillment. Else, you walk in a life of mystery, a life of sadness, a life of knowing deep within your heart that God is not pleased with what I've done, what I've done, and what I'm doing. So stay right there in the will and purpose of God for your life. My friend is doing it. My cousin is doing it. My sister is doing it. My neighbor is doing it. That doesn't mean you should do it. Stay in God's will and purpose for your life. And I'll make all the provision in my way, in my time, and in my plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray in the Spirit. Let's pray in the Spirit. Let's pray. There seems to be more to say. Let's pray in the Spirit. This is not how I plan the service. Let's pray in the Spirit. Oh, but so okay, scoop, I think, and do some plastic, and do, but I may, some produce, a pato, lay, kozo, but they, banano, some flukos, a pa, yaduza, nanonga, shosuza, braha, keza, tuza, mongro, hake, leda, doza, no kaninga, oh, Badosa, Krika, Du, Mane, Kasusa, Prakeda, Patosa, Patike, Lakedo, Ladonda, Pakula, Kasu, Pana, Tekika, Bakogre, Galele, Dotusa, Le, Katnonge, Krogugo, Manonge, Sosuso, Meku, Brati, Loba, Pambo, Kuko, Prake, Tusa, Pega, Dosuto, Kadoto, Patiga, Panon, Pratu, Kada, Kegado, Lato, Chisto, Mande, Kuto, Lato, Manda, Kanta, Ro, Katiko, Ruda, Lukuso, Nenende, Makuso, Babro, Kekinga, Kakahododo, Baborobodo, Badigan, Lukuso, Nekaya, Kebro, Baki, Babo, Baku, Lado, Rakanga, Kia, Lake, Dosuro, Momomo, Krokodo, Suso, Neneno, Kanonga, Kakugo, Nadira, Koka, Kakanonga, Kuro, Tuso, Hunai, Mamamamamo, Kedise, Kato, Spi, Ne, Baku, Bakane, Bobali, Kikotu, Lando, Tuba, Kakatuka, Nekuro, Manonge, Papoma, Papuro, Kekegegegegoka, Susono, Babane, Okususu, Mane, Kedanonga, Dado, Bababola, Dado, Babakana, Bado, Rekuso, Manon, Rekio, Kananu, Susu, Renido, Manange, Kokodo, Nemide, Bapone, Kegero, Dodo, No, the man of Kuso, Tide, Paraho, the Tia, Tuso, the Old Gratu, the Beatos, Pato, Pedro, Pachuso, Mande, Kekadi, the Dia, Papado, Kadoro, the Old Tuso, Ketus, the Kira, Parano, Haka, Tupa, Tuda, Kamba, Kura, Puro, Kunde, Baba, Gogo, Gagle, Gogle, Gobre, Gogle, Tito, Tato, Neko, Recto, Leto, Kito, Rashkete, Lepredadodo, Menamanadu, Gagadadade, Adadadodo, Mamamahuso, Ketuda, Ostengo, Ponga, Kudu. Amen. Amen. Well, if I tapped you, it means some caution. Some caution. Some caution. If I tapped you, some caution in your planning. If I did, but you knew as I spoke, something that happened as I spoke is like you just saw pictures. Wow. Now, that's the tap, okay? What it means, you have to hush. Yeah, you have to hush. And go back to what you knew before. Yeah. What you knew before. Clearly in God's word. Clearly in God's spirit. Amen. Let's pray a bit more. Just something. Find it out. No, ba, ko, leki, nombro, skipro, shanto, pita. You know something? That good old practice of praying over it hasn't stopped. That good old practice is not for spirit people. It's not for those who are just too spooky. No, it's not. It's actually for believers. Why do you think we're told to pray always and pray without ceasing? And he didn't say that to poor Christians, unless you are talking about praying for money. He said that to all believers. We pray always. We pray always because that's the way we are led. That's the way we are led. That's the way we are led. See, in praying many times, even doctrinal teachings, you know, will now become directional for you. Prayer makes those things directed at you. And then you will see things with a clarity of purpose and mind. See, let me say something. The fact that somebody is a Christian, okay, and is even in this church, okay, and he carries materials, doesn't mean the person cannot walk in the flesh. The fact that somebody, you know, doesn't mean that. Okay? Doesn't mean that. See, as you grow older as a believer, when I say older, I mean more years, more experience, you should trust how God has been leading you and men he put around you. You should trust that a whole lot. A whole lot. A whole lot. See, a house whose foundation is, you know, is being done over and over will never be built. Never be built. Stay in that realm. See, for some of us, let me say something. If you know at the beginning of this year, a lot of churches are doing fasting. We are not. Not because it's wrong. We have times we also do our fasting. But you know, there's something godly about it. I see some people writing about it and all that. I think they're just ignorant. There's something godly, even in your ignorance. There's something about consecration that is always godly. Even if, as soon as you don't even know God's word like that, you are not so strong. But there's just something about that. That's why a lot of people who got a hold of doctrine, the reason why they will not be stable is because they don't have that background of consecration. There's that thing that is always, for example, whether you know about the gift of the Spirit or not, in your ignorance, if you pray in the Spirit, you'll be edified. Praying always. He said that to baby Christians and mature Christians. So that attitude of the fast that some churches are doing, we are not doing it, not because it's wrong. We have time to do that. It's godly. See, that good old attitude of saying, look, I don't know what to do. In the sense of, I'm not my own leader. Right? I seek God's will. That good old attitude, don't ever drop it. You don't outgrow the basics. Stay with that good old attitude. That's, I guess somehow we're not, I'll just drop my notes. I just sense we should do that. Praise God. That good old attitude, we are in the generation of when it is high-flying, attractive, you know, we almost move by, is there a car involved? Is there a house involved? Is there someone involved? You know, which is humanly good. But you know what? We don't live by fleeces. We don't live by fleeces. No. Gideon lived by fleece and it was by chance. We don't live by fleeces. Well, if this happens, there is God. If that happens, no! You are born of God. You are born of God. You are born of God. There are some people there, you have become emotionally attached to them. I'll tell you one. Anybody that can put you under pressure, right? Under pressure. Not for spiritual growth, though. Under pressure. That you now want to desire something. You are giving the person a right into your life that you shouldn't have. Always allow people in your life who affirm God's truth. God's truth. If you have been born again for a few years, there are some things you cannot make as mistakes again. No, you can't. No, you can't. For the time when you ought to be teachers, you need that someone teach you again. That will be the first rule of oracles of Christ. You need to see that now. I now know how to pray. I've heard God's word. I know what is God's will. So I'll stay there. 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 See, that good old attitude. I'm saying about the fasting. I'm not saying this to get at you, but that's how I also start my year. I'm fasting myself. I make sure that in a year I do like 90 to 120 days of fasting. 30 days spread, minus church fasting, minus weekly ones. It's just a good old attitude. I used to do as much as 260 days in the 90s. Sometimes, I was only do 300 days, was the doctor that stopped me. That just kept the whole year that way. Just kept that period, and they were very vital, because they were my earlier years. Those are not the times you need to quickly make money and quickly become famous. That's the wrongest thing to do. Those are the times you just... See, I used to tell people this. If you buy a car today, you will pay money. If you buy it in 20 years time, you will pay money. Nobody will say, because you didn't buy a car in 2019, who said 2029? Do you understand? So sometimes the things we hurry to do are not necessary. And most of the time, they are pressures of performance. Things that men should see. Things that men want to see. And so, just that good old thing about being led. You know, in the morning, when you do your devotion, you shouldn't just do your devotion casually. Okay, you are studying, you just pray, and you went out. You know, you can also pray in your devotion and just check what's on your heart. And most of the time, there will be something God is telling you about. Maybe about office, your office, maybe about your class, maybe about a neighbor. There'll just be something. Because prayer has that concourse between us and God. So don't just do it beautiful, just like, oh, let me just do it and get away. No. There'll be some things you were planning to do, and you just have a check. Just have a check. Oftentimes, a check was not a voice. is just a signal to do something. To do something. A signal to do something. That good old attitude, fast. And in your fasting, it's not just you're fasting then by 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, you just say, you just look at the time to be this 5 o'clock. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. No, it's actually a time of meditation. Time of meditation. Just meditate. And just, you know, again, set the course of the year, set the course of the day, of the month, or whatever the case is. And just be like, well, let me just follow my heart, you know, and, you know, just, again, and most of the time, it's usually a reminder. A reminder. Just like in this service, pictures have come to many of us. Some of those pictures, you saw it at World Changers Conference. Some of those pictures. Because oftentimes, the effect of the corporate grace wears off if we are not careful. You know, after a meeting, you're always like, oh, no. But it will wear off with our daily activities. So that's why we ought to keep it before our eyes. See, faith, as it were, will keep God's, will receive God's instructions. It's consecration that keeps it. Consecration means, look, I'm going to do this, whether it pays me or not. I'm going to do this, whether men applaud it or not. That's consecration. Take up your cross and follow me. That is really what keeps it. I tell people a lot, where is the word. I said, there's that place of we're excited, but there's not the place of look. Come rain, come shine. No matter what it is. It is what I'm going to do, and it's the will of God, that's what I'm going to do. So that good old attitude of waiting. You know, patience is not an outdated virtue. Do you know that? It's not. Patience. It's like one illustration I gave somebody earlier today. See, sometimes you're on the express, and then you see a car ahead of you. You want to race with it. You are not being wise. Do you know the driver? No. Do you know the owner of the car? No. Do you know where it's coming from? No. Do you know where it's going to? No. But because you found yourself in the same express, doesn't mean you are going to the same place. So because you and I were in the same class, doesn't mean we are going to do the same thing. Because we're even in the same family. No. I will fulfill God's plan for my life. I remember this illustration I used to give. Because year in, year out, I used to teach from Brother Hagin's book, Following God's Plan for Your Life, in 1995. I remember in 1996 I gave this illustration. And I was using it in Hebrews 12:1. Of course, I won't use that verse again. Hebrews 12:1. And I use this illustration a lot. That, assuming you are a very good athlete. Some of you probably have heard this before. You are a good athlete and you can run. You are like Usain Bolt. In fact, Usain Bolt is like learning from you. And you are practiced very well. Very, very well. You are a very fast runner. A cheetah can't even meet you. That's a lot of parable, right? Then they now said, Shego, you are going to be lane 4. Right? And so they put you on lane 4. You are a very good athlete, though. So, as the race started, you now cross to lane 5. And you now run to the very end. See, the guy that walked, that just walked on his own lane and got there, will be ahead of you. You will be scored disqualified. So that's why I used to say, the most disastrous thing is to do efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. What you ought not to have done at all. So I used to say that race is in your heart. What did God ask you to do? That becomes your lane. What somebody told you to do and advised you will be that other lane. Because you are a child of God, let me tell you something. You will never be happy outside God's will. Or joyful. When happiness is a question of happiness, like we normally say. But that fulfillment, except you are not born of God, that fulfillment, you won't have it. Except you are not born of God. It's those that are not born of God, oftentimes that can throw caution to the wind, and they won't feel it. Because they are not born of God. But you know you are born of God. And you respond to His promptings. So that good old, let's pray about it. And when you say let's pray about it, don't set 5 days. Do you understand? Don't set 10 days. Oftentimes when we set markers of time, we do things our own way. Don't set 20 days. Don't set 15 days. No, just pray and leave it at that. And as time goes on, you will see clearly what you prayed about. Oftentimes, the result of prayer will come in the things we will now hear later. And the reason why you were more attentive was because you had prayed. Because prayer sharpens your discernment. That's why, if anything at all, be full of prayer. Hallelujah. Some of us that came late, remember the story I gave before I started. You know, about Israel. How they went to Egypt. Remember that the issue of Egypt has been said to Abraham before. When they went to Egypt and they were there for how many years? 400, whether there's 430, whatever, 400 years. It's just hundreds. Generations upon generations. Till it became slavery. Till they started killing them. And again, the man that had to come and deliver them also had to know how to hear from God. You know, it didn't just happen. Eventually, how did they come out? It was still a man. If the man had heard wrongly, that's wahala. So, sometimes, we shouldn't look at opportunities. Believers are not led by opportunities. They are led by the Spirit. Particularly things that will change your relationships. Change your location. Change your pursuits. Hallelujah. See, the world, particularly a believer, and the whole world is going one way. Because you are born of God, you'll be extra cautious. The whole world is going in the direction. The whole world. Now, I'm not talking about if everybody is saying 1 plus 1 is 2, say no. That's where the whole world is going. For us that are born of God is 1. You know what I'm talking about. As touching decision making and life, the whole world is going in a direction. I'm bold to say this. In the 80s, a preacher told me this. There was just this thing about going abroad. Late 80s and early 90s. Many of you probably know what I'm saying. Some of you know. He said he just knew that this was just of his flesh. He said he just knew. Many of his classmates in university who were pastors on campus. Some of them were active. He just left the country. He just said no. But that was not what God told him. He said, should I tell you something? I said, what? He said, there's none of them that remained in the ministry. None. You know, that's interesting. But they are doing well. I mean, they're doing fine. But they are doing fine because they went to find for fine things. Any unbeliever can do fine that way too. But you are born of God. You are called of God. You are led of God. The way you reason will be different. Now, interestingly, the fine they were doing, I'm not saying this is a fruit though, he's also doing fine. Do you understand what I'm saying? But one had a cost to it. It was called disobedience. And though there are some things one can reverse, some things you cannot reverse again. There's some things you can reverse. There's some things you can't reverse again. I was talking to someone, I think I'm right, on this. And he said this. So one of the most foolish things people say is that they can change people. No, you can't. So you can change this person. And particularly women and men, we now live in a lie. We live in denial. We live in denial. So I'll change this person. Let's get married. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. You are living in denial. You know that in your spirit, that was wrong. But you went on. You went on. And you were not satisfying yourself. Remember years back, I got the opportunity to leave the country. And it was even timely. Because I was already rejected of men. You know, our ministry used to be full in a meeting. Then all of a sudden, they had 3 members, 2.5 actually. And then my uncle, well, my mother's distant cousin, happened to be an undersecretary of Commonwealth. And so he said, well, I can get you to United Kingdom and go and school with that. Of course, that was the week. And I now decided at that period I wasn't going to pray about it. I knew that if I prayed about it, I would send something. I didn't want to send anything that I go to London. Let me send anything here. When I now send it, I say, I'm already here. Already school. I pay school fees. Do you want me to argue with God and myself? Do you want me to not waste the school fees? You know, it's not good. You're a general God. You're a God of love. You leave 99 and go after one. I'm that one. you know, you can plan your disobedience. But I remember myself and my mom were going to go that morning and see my uncle, fill papers and all that, and you know, get to know what to do. It was in Sheraton Hotel. I just told her, I said, I'm not going again. She looked at me and said, I was crazy. She said, I'm not. I said, I wasn't. I said, I'll just pray about it. Of course, when I say I'm going to pray about it, I'm not doing it again. You know, don't I go to London now? I do. They will say, when you also have come there, if you come up, you can't buy a house here. Should you have come in 1995? Did you come? You can't come again. No. So sometimes haste means nothing. It means nothing. It means nothing. All of us, no matter how close we are, we can't run the same path. We can't run the same course. No, we can't. We can't. So that old attitude of being led by the Spirit of God. Today, even as a preacher, He will give me opportunities. Oh, come and do this. Come and do that. I'll just say no. I'll say no. She'll say, why? Because I prayed before. I'll say no. Say, but it's good for your ministry. It's good for your ministry. You see, at this stage, you tell me what's good for our ministry. No. She said no. So some things, it's just good to hold on before you put your hands on it. Pray about it. So temporary things, you went to Egypt, got help, your business was better, you got a master's degree, you got your PhD, fine. But don't make permanent what you were not led about. Don't make it permanent. Do you know that even in the choice of where we live, we can pray about it? Or we can think about it. Look at some things you can think about. If I go and move to this place, what about my spiritual growth? You know, that's being led. How about my spiritual growth? Will I be well pastored? Will I be taught the word? I will do Facebook Live. You know you can't survive on Facebook Live. You too, you know. You know yourself. If nobody knows you, you know yourself. My dear friend there used to say this. He would say, we should have one prayer. I said, what's the prayer? That God should leave us for ourselves. We looked at that. We are all preachers. He said, we'll do all manner. We said, we'll do all manner. You're not left alone what you can become. You yourself know. You're not left alone what you can become. Do you know there's a whole lot of caution that people around you give you? That's the Holy Ghost. When you just see somebody's face, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. So, let's just be very keen. See, you don't have to compromise the word for your needs to be met. You don't have to compromise the word for you to do well in your career. You don't have to disobey God. See, you can do well in your career and yet obey God. You can. You can be a successful businessman. I didn't say the richest. You can be a successful lawyer, doctor. You can be a successful trader. You can be without compromising God's word and God's leading. You know? Without having to now sear your conscience. See, years down the line, 10 years, 15 years, you will look back and you will be glad you obeyed. You will look back. You know? You just look back and say, thank God. You'll be glad you obeyed. One of the fruits of the leading of God's Spirit is consistency. You look back and you'll be glad. Thank God I obeyed. Thank God I married the right person. Thank God I stayed in the right place. Thank God I didn't move. Or thank God I moved. You know, as we are saying this, some people, God needed for them to move. So it's not like I'm saying, oh, the moment you are told to move, devil, no. But if you're a Nigerian, you are more led to move. You know what I'm talking about? You are more led to move. Yeah. And you know, those things are important. So the truth is, 10 years down the line, for example, you know, you can do a check and look back and say, thank God I didn't do this. That's why I'm glad today. Thank God. You know, and I'm sure that your looking back will be when you are very innocent, a Christian. You are, you know, very meek, very humble. You receive God's word like a child. You know what? That attitude should never change. God shouldn't have it difficult talking to you. I've told you before. When something is repeated, oftentimes it was because you were not listening. When you are hearing it, it's because you were not listening well. I used to ask your pastor, I'll say, read these prophecies. If you see something that kept coming back, it's because most of the time you are not doing anything about it. So it will come back and back. But you know something I told you before? You are not sure it will come again. See, all of us put together, I tell this to myself, God does not fear you. You know that's something you tell yourself. God doesn't fear you. Like, it's you. What? People go to hell now. They go to hell. God doesn't fear you. So you can't do things your way. That's the point. So, pray. Those good old things, they are not old fashioned. Confession does not take the place of obedience. So saying that, pray, be led. I told you earlier that one of the fruits of God's obedience, obeying the Lord, are the relationships He gives you. Very vital. God uses men. When you read Hebrews 13:17, that's the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, that's the Spirit of God. When Paul is speaking, I say, look, they admonish you, esteem them. They have control over your lives, for example. That's the Spirit of God speaking. That's the Spirit of God speaking. And hear me. There's nobody led by the Spirit that cannot be led by the flesh. So what it means is that my consecration keeps me on that lane. Keeps me on that lane. On that lane. Yeah. You know something? Stay in that lane. Stay in your lane. Stay there. Stay in your lane. It may look odd. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Stay there. Stay in your lane. It may look uneventful that all you do is just get up in the morning, pray, study the word, and go out to work and come back. Maybe preach the gospel, pray. It may look like something should happen. No, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. It will bear fruit, the fruit of obedience and the fruit of godliness. Stay in your lane. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, my. Devos. Kato. Oh, Vrasos. Let's pray in tongues.